be back. Amen. And Adrian and I were evangelism. We live in a motorhome travel. And we're going to be here tonight, right?
Yep.
All right. So you have to come back tonight, too. But I'm just going to get started. I'm getting past my nervousness looking at you. Yeah, it is. It's good. Someone's keeping an eye on my wife. Someone needs to keep an eye on Charles, too. So anyway, it's good to be here. Pastor asked me, he said that your subject matter kind of this morning, and you have a theme going this month, is on prayer. Amen. That's why I just said that about the song that she just sang there. You know, we all have a prayer life. You know about that? Do you ever think about that? Our prayer life might be, oh, Lord, I need some help right now. And it may not happen very often either, you know. But and then some people have a daily prayer life, maybe an hour, maybe a minute. You're communicating. That's what prayer is, by the way. It's communicating. God speaking to you, and you speaking to Him. That's a pretty quick definition of prayer, isn't it? Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? And so we're going to look at some folks here this morning that are known in the Bible for their prayer. Can we do that? Just kind of kick off a little bit here with prayer. And you have a prayer life, I believe. I think most everybody does. But how good is it? And is there room for it to improve? Could you do a little bit better? Would you like to know Him a little bit better? Now, I'm already guilty before we even get started. So I could be in prayer more than I do. Your prayer life probably depends on how much you want to. I'm going to look at some folks here. The book of Job, verse 1 said, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. I've probably preached a sermon here in the past on Job having integrity. And I believe that's what's described here. And there was born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, and 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she-asses, and a very great household. So that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses every day. And he sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. So Job did continually. Just for sake of time, let's just go. We know what happens there. A whole bunch of things happened to Job. Let's just read some of them starting in verse 13. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in the eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger under Job saying, the oxen were plowing, and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. He's getting this bad news. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven, and hath burned up the sheep and the servants of the Lord, and the servants, and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, Chaldeans made out 3 bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only escaped alone to tell thee. And while he's yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, and behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the 4 corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Then here's Job's reaction to verse 20. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this Job sinned not, nor love you. Thank you again for the privilege of being here with friends and some new folks. And Lord, I just pray that you'd speak to us through your word. Encourage us to pray, us to check up on our prayer line. Lord, most of all, if there's somebody here this morning that has never trusted you as a personal Savior and not a forgiven sinner on their way to heaven, that you'll give them the boldness to deal with that. Thank you and give you the praise and the glory for it. All Holy Spirit, please speak to us. Job was an interesting man, and we found back there in verse 1, we see the man, I believe he had some integrity and perfect and upright, one that feared God, eschewed evil. And down there in verse 5, Job chapter 1, verse 5, we find that I believe he was a good dad. How many believe that? A good dad would be praying for his family. Amen. And so I think we find Job here as a praying man. In verse 5, it talks about that a little bit. And it was so in the days of their feasting were gone about, Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning. Doesn't that sound like one of those things that if we're going to be a praying person, we ought to kind of have. Get your day started with a little bit of prayer, amen, and communicating with the Lord. And he said he rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the matter of the month. He's about his family. He's a good dad. He's praying. And for Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their heart. And then again, thus did Job continually. Just again, sounds like someone that would be praying, someone that would communicate with the Lord. And after all those things that happened to Job there, you know, the cattle are gone, his friends are gone, his family is gone, his co-workers are gone, all of his belongings are gone, the house are gone. And as the messengers came there that we read, as all those things were, and here comes one servant saying, oh, this happened, and then this destruction happened, and then they were gone, and they were gone. And then the bad news just kept coming to them, didn't they? How many of you have been there? Man, it just seems like it's just not one little problem when it happens. It's four and five and ten of them. And I don't know of any of this. I don't know you all personally, but I don't know of anybody other than Job that has had that many things go that wrong that quick. Have you? I don't know. I mean, that was pretty fast there. Bam, and it's gone. It doesn't really tell us how fast it was. Here comes another one. And you know what Job's reaction was to it? I quit. What his reaction was at all. You know what he did? He did what he should have done.
Right.
Goes over to the next chapter, we find there that in all this, Job sinned not with his lips. Job just didn't say, curse God and die. Job didn't say, I quit. Job didn't say, God, you're not fair. He didn't say any of those things. Look what he did in verse 20. Then Job arose. After all that happened, then Job arose, and we'd have probably had to sit down to get all that told to us too, wouldn't we? Then Job arose, and he rent his mantle out of respect and humility and shaved his head and fell down on the ground upon the ground and worshipped. Now, who do you think he was worshipping? And then it goes on and it says, and said, he's communicating. And this is what he said as he fell down on the ground and worshipped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb and naked shall return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed. What was your reaction when the last little thing came along? There was a whole lot less than what Job was going through. Did you pray and say, blessed be the name of the Lord? Or was it, well, I don't know. I could say use the Lord's name in vain. But I'm sure that didn't happen to anyone in this room. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's what he did. And Job, in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. An example there given, amen, on how we should handle some things when the trials and the troubles go on. You know, have you ever heard it said, somebody, I felt sorry for myself because I had no shoes until I met a man who had no legs or feet or however you've heard it. You know, someone else always has it worse than we do, don't they? And that's the attitude we need to look. But at the same time of looking at that, we need to give God the glory. We need to get Him involved in everything. He wants to be involved in our lives, amen. He wants to hear from us. And He wants to speak to us. And that's what prayer is, just briefed up. Communicating with God and letting Him communicate with you. That's His desire. He wants. You know, we were designed to talk to Him. We are made to communicate with our Creator, to pray. That's one we were put here for. And I hope. But what do you choose to do with yours? Would you like to improve it a little bit? I'm telling you, I'm the same. First reaction when something comes along, whether good or bad in your life, are we just been around somebody like that? You know what's going to happen. They're going to stop and want to pray here. Ever been around somebody like that? Oh, no. Just going to take an extra 5 minutes today because he's going to want to pray before we do that. Or it's going to take a couple more minutes because, oh, I don't even want to share this joyful thing with preacher because he's going to want to pray with me for a little while. How do you feel about that? Whew, I'm getting excited about that. Knowing we get to talk to our Creator, amen? He wants us to do that. And we find here in Job being mentioned that, let's just think here in our life a little bit. If you'll go back a little ways and think back in your life, who would be somebody, and you don't have to say out loud or anything, just think to yourself about somebody in your life that you, when you think about somebody that prayed, and was known for their prayer. I see it on someone's website, lady's website, their mother. Think back at their mother. I know today I'm in the ministry today because of my mother's prayer. I can think back to my grandparents. Love the Lord, like you were talking about this morning. Maybe not an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist church, but they had a Bible in that church, and they loved the Lord, and they were born again on their way to heaven, amen? And you know, I think of my grandparents. They prayed. There was that rotten little Bobby over there, and they'll never become a preacher. Well, maybe he's a preacher today because they prayed for me. You ever think that? You're thinking back in your life, those that are known for prayer in your life, maybe a mom or a dad, or maybe that lady down the street that come down there and woke you up on Sunday morning and waited for you while she waited to give you a ride down to the church house, or maybe the junior church teacher that you had, or Sunday school teacher known for prayer life, amen? Maybe it was a pastor or a deacon or somebody in that church that, you know, you knew that old person, that you knew they were going to pray. You know, you knew if you talked to them, they were going to pray. They weren't going to just turn it into a gossip session. You knew they were really going to pray. You could take it to them. Their prayer was something serious. And I'll have folks. How many of you know somebody? You thought about somebody that is just known for their prayer life? We all do, don't we? All know somebody, and that's so good to see that example. And we could go to the Word of God, like we are here this morning, and we could think about those in the Bible that are mentioned there that God placed in the Word of God to give us some examples. We've had examples in life, amen, and then we have some examples in the Word of God of those that are known for their prayer life. And I'm giving you kind of a minute here to think about somebody in the Bible, you know, that favorite Bible character that you got in there that's known for their prayer life. In fact, I'm just going to throw it out there. Who's the first person that you think of when it talks about somebody in the Bible that's known for their prayer? Noah prayed, didn't he? How, give me another one. Just throw it out there. Who's the first person you think of? You better get Job, right? We just talked about him, amen? Yeah. Somebody else known for their prayer life. Jesus, he got right to the perfect example. If you think about that a little bit, over in Matthew chapter 6 or 9 it is, Jesus gave us that model prayer there, our Father, which gave us that example there. I believe it was Jesus when he was in the garden there, he prayed and he said something like, "Not my will, but thine be done." We have the example of our Savior. I think it was the Lord there. Let's see where he was. John chapter 17, before he went to Calvary, he was praying to the Father. The whole chapter there, prayer, the Lord, the Jesus prayer there to the Father. He said, "I have glorified thee on this earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." And man, as Jesus was hanging on the cross at Calvary, you know what he was doing there? He was praying, wasn't he? And what is the words that he said there? "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." See, I think we have a perfect example in Jesus Christ. Have you outprayed Jesus yet? Oh, there's some other ones now that he got the perfect one done. Who else in the Bible for prayer? Moses, absolutely. David. Solomon. Elijah, Elisha, both of them. Let me give you my list real quick. I'll go back, and you're going to get them all. Then the first woman, when the first woman I think of that's known in the Bible for her prayer is Hannah. Hannah prayed to the point where Eli, the priest there, didn't know what was wrong. Thought she was drunk. I mean, she was so involved in her prayer life. She was totally wrapped up in her prayer life. That we had Hannah. We had Abraham prayed. Aaron prayed. Moses prayed, Samuel prayed, Elijah prayed, Elisha prayed, Hezekiah prayed. Then he got 15 more years out of the deal. That's a rewarded prayer life, amen. And Elijah, Hezekiah. How about Daniel? He didn't care what everybody else said. "I'm going to pray. In fact, I'm going to open my windows and let them see it." Amen. And the Lord opened the windows of heaven. There's got to be a sermon in that, isn't there? Amos prayed. Samson prayed. I like that guy. Man, he got a hold of the pillars and he's praying and said, "Lord, give me strength. There's one more." Pull the place down on him. Amen. I like that guy right there. Jonah prayed, didn't he? Some good, some not so good. Amen. But he prayed. And we can find over in the New Testament, we find of course, Jesus Christ. We found Stephen as an example over in the New Testament. When they're stoning him to death, what did Stephen say to him? Lay not the sin into their charge. He was forgiving them even as he was. And it'd be good for us maybe to make sure we got that when our death gets close too, that we're right where we should be with our prayer life. Amen. Given others and moving on. Oh, we have so many great examples in the Word of God that we should pray, and that prayer works, and it's good, and it's right, and we've watched prayer in our lives. Amen? People that have prayed, we've seen how many times have you been a testimony service in church and hear about how the Lord answered prayer, and the Lord answered prayer. I've been around your pastor long enough to, it's like every other sentence, he's talking about how God blessed and he prayed and the Lord blessed. Amen? I look at him personally and his wife, amen. Some folks have been praying for them. And here they are today. What about your prayer life? We're done looking at those that have already moved on and that we know, and we kind of done looking at the Bible, but what if we looked at your prayer life here this morning? Were you one of them maybe in the room that somebody said, oh, I know that woman over there, she's known for her prayer life, or I know that man over there, he's known for his prayer life. That's what you should want to be. You'd want to be known for your prayer life. Oh, glory. I need to get going. Back in Job's day, we're going to go back to Job here a little bit, that example that we looked at. And in the book of Job, we're going to see some of the times where it was mentioned that Job prayed. But before we go to that, I want you to go to Job chapter 21 with me. And what we're going to look at here is, you know, today there are some folks that believe prayer is good and it right and works. And you're right here. Amen. And just like in Job's day, I believe there were some that believed prayer was good and right and worked. And at the same time, there were some that didn't. They didn't think prayer worked. Let's just read a few verses here. Job chapter 21, verse 1. Job answered, here's the conversation. But Job answered and said, hear diligently my speech and let this be your consolation. Suffer me that I may speak, and after I have spoken, mock on. As for me and my complaint to man, let's just jump there. Look in verse 7. Wherefore do the wicked live, become old, yea, are mighty in power? Their seed is established in their sight with them, and their offspring before their eyes. Their houses are safe from fear, neither is the rod of God upon them. Think about this. In our world today, we can look around and we can see some people that just got it made. We can just say it's like, got it made. Everything looks like it's going smooth for them. You know what I'm saying? You know, it goes on down there and a house that is safe from fear, neither the rod of God upon them. Their bull gendereth and selleth not. Their cow calveth and casteth not her calf. They send forth their little ones like a flock, and their children dance. Everything's going good. They take the timbrel and the harp and rejoice at the sound of the organ. They spend their days in wealth and in a moment go down to the grave. Therefore they say unto God, depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy way. Is that not what we see out there today? A lot of folks that live that way, and God, it's just fine. We got everything going. Everything's good. We don't need this. And as it reads on down here, this is back in Job's day. Verse 13, they spend their days in wealth, and in a moment go to the grave. We're all going to get there one day, amen? Just like them. But look what they say. Therefore they say unto God, depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. What is the Almighty? Who's that talking about right there? God, what is the Almighty that we should serve him, and what profit should we have if we pray unto him? Hey, what's in this for me, Lord? Why should I spend my time praying to you? I've got everything already. I don't need anything. Why should I stop and serve you and spend all my time going to church and learning to pray? And why should I spend my early morning hours praying? I've got everything, amen. Let's go have fun and get some things done. Does that sound like today? Right. That's what's wrote about then. What profit have we? What's in it for me? Right. Don't care about anybody else, but Job sounded like he was kind of concerned about his family and others, didn't he? And he was willing to spend some time rising up early and getting a hold of the Lord. What about you? Amen. He says, man, everything's good. We don't need to waste our time praying. We don't need to waste our time going to church and letting other people know that we need to be prayed for and what we need to be praying. No, we're not going to learn to pray. Pastor's giving a series here this month on prayer. You ought to be here. Make sure. Man, you need to make sure you're going to be here. Find out what he's got. Anyway, need to go on. Does that sound like today? What profit have we in prayer? What's in it mean? But you know, at the same time, know him. We just talked about him. The ones we looked at our lives and seen the example of the testimony. Let's go. And back in Job's day, there were some people that believed prayer was good and right, too. Let me just give you a couple quick little statements out of some of those conversations. There was one man there, Eliphaz. He knew prayer was good and it right and worked. And in Job chapter 15, verse 4, he said this. He knew Job prayed, and he said unto Job, he said, "Yea, thou castest off fear and restraineth prayer before God." What do you do when fear comes? You pray, don't you? And that's exactly what Job was doing. And his friend knew when the fear came that Job was going to pray and give it to the Lord and say, "Lord, handle this." There's another recorded, the same Elihu and him, or Eliphaz and him. He said, Thou makest thy prayer unto him, and he shall hear thee, and thou shalt pay thy vows." That's in Job chapter 22, verse 27. Eliphaz, one of Job's friends, knew that Job prayed. He knew that when fear came, and he didn't know what to do or where to go or whatever, he knew he was going to pray. So there were people along with Job back in those days that knew prayer was good and right and worked, just like you here today know prayer is good and right and works. Amen. There was another man in conversation there, Elihu, one of those other men with Job, and in Job chapter 33, verse 26, Elihu knew that prayer worked, and he believed it. It goes on and says, "And he shall pray unto God, and he will be favorable unto him, and he shall see thy face with joy, for he will render unto man his..." Elihu is saying that he knew prayer that works. You talk to the Lord, and he was going to answer that prayer. Amen. So there were some folks then, just like now, that know prayer is good and right and works. But you all know that prayer is good and right and works. Amen. So maybe a little bit of encouragement, maybe a little checkup this morning on how that prayer life is going. You know, Job, it says much about Job there being a praying person. And I'm just going to give you a couple of more places. Job chapter 16, verse 17. Job talks about his prayer life a little bit there. Job chapter 16, says there in verse 16. Job 16, verse 16. "My face is far from weeping, and on my eyelids is the shadow of death." He goes, "Not for any injustice in my hands, prayer is pure." It goes on down there. He says, "O earth, cover not thou my blood, and let my cry have no..." "Oh, that one might plead for a man. Where are you at?" And the Job says, he says, my prayer is pure. I looked that word pure up. I wanted to find out what it meant. And you know what it means? It means to be clean. Good prayer request. And said, prayed, I'm just going to say with detail. When was the last time you prayed with maybe mentioning somebody's name or an example? When was the last time you got a detail asked for and a detailed answer? I'll tell you what that praying with details will do. It will encourage you, those around you. You know, the missionaries send letters and you take a list there that I need this, and I need James to be saved, and we need a vehicle maybe, or whatever it happens to be. And you pray and ask for those details. When the next missionary letter comes along and you see where James got, the missionary got blessed with a vehicle, that if you don't pray with details, if you just, "Mr. God, bless the missionaries, give them what they need, and bless the church family, Lord, and be with the finances of the church, and amen." Well, you're never going to get encouraged, because God's going to take care of all those things. But if you ask for details, you see the details. So we need to be a little more, and God wants to hear the details, and he wants to answer in details, and it's part of the rewards. Look for that. Well, glory. Glory. Back in the college days, I had no money, and you don't when you go to college, generally. And my oldest daughter, she used to get bloody nose. She had a bloody nose one day, and she's in the bathroom there, and we used up all of our toilet paper with her bloody nose. There's a pile over there, garbage cans on them. We've used all the Kleenex up. I think we were down to paper towels on that bloody nose. Amen. You been there, Reverend? And I said, to her, she goes, "Dad, what am I going to do?" And we tried everything that was in our power to get that nose to stop bleeding. And I finally said, "We're going to pray." we're going to pray, and if that nose doesn't stop bleeding when we're done praying, I'm taking you to the emergency room. It was to that point. I was getting concerned as a dad. And so we prayed. Dear Lord, you know we don't have money. We're asking you to cut it short because I'm afraid you're going to bleed. Got done praying, and there she is sitting. No more Kleenex, no more paper towel on her nose. You know what? My girls are grown now. They're 30. So all you got to do is say bloody nose or have somebody around. My one daughter said bloody nose the other day, and my daughter texted me and said, Dad, others with our prayer life. And we might have said there in that verse that his prayer was pure. And Job answered and said, even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. And that, where's God? Don't you hear this? You already knew this. Why didn't you already take care of it? Here Job is. He says, oh, verse 3, oh that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but would he put strength in me? There the righteous might dispute with him. Oh, should I be delivered forever from my judgment? Look at what Job says here in verse 8. Behold, I go forward, but he's not. And backwards, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. You ever been there in prayer and say, God, where were you there? You know, I look over here on the left side, and I see where those people over there, they don't even go to church. And they're strong, and they're healthy, and they got everything they need. And I look over here, and Lord, you healed those people up, and they don't even have a Bible in their house, but yet you're blessing them and giving them strength. And then I look back here, and I say, Lord, where were you back there when I was hungry and didn't have any groceries and didn't have money to pay the utility bills? And Lord, I'm looking ahead here in a little bit, and I'm saying, yeah, you know, I just maybe doubt here a little bit. Lord, what am I going to do here? I don't understand. Well, you ever been there? Yeah, Job has one of those moments here too. But you know what Job decided to do about that? He decided he wasn't going to quit. He wasn't going to give up on God. What he was going to start doing is, you know, just look here. He said, behold, I go forward, but he's not there. And backwards, I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on, hiding from me. God, come on, I need you right here, right now. But I cannot see him. But I look in verse 10. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. I don't know why God answers when he answers, how he answers your prayer. And you don't need to know necessarily either, but you need to do like Job did here. And he goes in verse 11, well, verse 10, but he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps, his way have I kept, and not declined. And he says, I'm going to keep going. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to keep going. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. He says, then I'm going to keep going. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to change. I'm going to keep going. He goes, I'm not going to turn my back on God. I'm going to wait. I'm not going to go back to the way I used to live. I'm not going to fall back into sin. I'm going to keep trusting God and keep going on, amen. I'm not going to let this get me down. Just because it didn't work out exactly the way I wanted it, I want it to work out how God wants it to work anyway. That's the best way. I'm going to keep praying. I'm just going to do what I should be doing. I'm not going to change what I know is right to keep doing. I'm going to keep praying, being faithful, keep giving, no matter whether I can see my bills being paid or not. I'm going to go to faith, to church, faithful to church. Sometimes, no, I'm not going to feel like I got anything when I was there, or anybody, my friends are not going to be there, or they're going to... I'm just going to keep doing what's right. What are you going to do? Job said, I'm going to keep all wound up. What do you think about that? Job chapter 38. Job, how many are you going to add Job to their list of somebody that was known for their prayer life? Yeah, because he's just like us. And it goes on here a little bit. I'm going to be just real quick. Job chapter 38, where we're looking at in verse 1 there, a Job and being a praying guy. Look at what I got to be brief now. Job 38. You can do this homework later and read all this. Amen. Communication. That's what prayer is. You talk to God. Amen. And God talks to you. And He can choose His ways. to do that. Here, verse 38, verse 1. Then the Lord answered Job. That's half of it, isn't it?
Right.
There it is. Then the Lord answered Job out of a whirlwind. That's how he decided to do it that time. Shoot! Everybody seen that one. Everybody got that one. There wasn't any question about that. God answered that prayer.
Yeah.
And here it is. It says, then the Lord answered Job out of a whirlwind and said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, and I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. He's talking. There it is. Go over to chapter 40. Being quick. Here it is, that communication again. Verse 1. Job 40, verse 1. Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, here he is, communication. Shall he that contend with the Almighty instruct him? Now that is something you don't want the Lord to do. Are you going to tell God how you want it to be done? You going to order God around? You ever know anybody that did that? It doesn't go very far. You know, you don't like when people tell you to do something and when to do it and how to do it. I don't think God appreciates that either. And look at what he said. God says to Job, he that contendeth with the Almighty, shall he instruct him? I've got it. He that reproveth God, let him answer it. Whew! That is like, oh no, I'm in trouble now, Job says. And then Job comes back in verse 3 and says, Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I am vile. You know what he did? He realized. He realized how he was talking to God and how he had maybe just overbounded things a little bit there. And he realized that. He says, I am vile. He's telling God this. When was the last time you told God that you knew you were a sinner and that your way was not working the way you thought it should and you should have went his way? Or maybe you failed on some matter of your life. Job says, or accidentally went back, behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay my hand upon my mouth. You ever wished when you were talking to God, once I have spoken that I will not answer again twice, but I will proceed no further. Whirlwind and said, gird up thy loins now like a man. And we find a conversation there. God talking to Job, Job talking to God, communicating. Chapter 42, verse 1. Then answered the Lord and said, I know. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything. No thought can be withholden from thy counsel without knowledge. Therefore have I uttered that I understood not. Things too wonderful for me, which I know. What did Job say here? Back in chapter 40, we found there, Job was communicating with the Lord, and he says, oh, I'm vile. What can I answer thee? And man, there he is. And we find that humbled Job now over in chapter 40, and he says there, I know that thou canst do everything. Now I realize, well, you're all of it, Lord. You can do. Therefore have I uttered that I understood not. Two things too wonderful me. You know, sometimes we spend some time in prayer to tell God that we noticed and where he did some things in our lives. Thank him and praise him and give him the glory that he's got coming, amen? Sometimes that's just what we need to do with our prayer life. Just tell him that, woohoo, God. If at all, you're not doing that. Dear friend, God is good. God is great. Thank you for the food we just ate. I'm just taking it into your own hands there. I've heard all the testimony with the ear, but now I get to look for him the word. Look on down. That after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath of his servant there. Go to my servant Job for yourselves a burnt offering. Servant Job shall, what's that? The Lord told them, go to Job. See, those men knew that Job had a prayer life. But the best thing we can do is just pray. Seek and you shall find. And that's Lord Jesus Christ teaching. You know, verses like over in Thessalonians chapter 12, one to another. Pray for one another. You may be Job humbled himself. Profitably we in prayer. I hope this is just an encouragement to some of you this morning. Just, woo-hoo! I'm going to continue in my prayer life. I'm going to be faithful to the services and hear what my pastor's got to say to encourage you. Maybe you here this morning are one that he said where he's supposed to be. Maybe start your day. But you are here. And that statement that you may need. And we were there and that one statement was made. And this is what he said. He was talking about his kids and he said, he goes, if you're not praying, and I got to thinking about that, and I got kids, he says, if you're not praying for your kids, and I was like sticking a dagger in me and twisting it around. I wasn't praying for my kids the way I should. Oh, they're grown up, they're adults now. God told me that morning. So, this is a church for, do you think maybe you ought to be praying? Getting personal here, but are you married? Woo-hoo! We need to pray for them, don't we? But I mean, we don't all. Other families? You know, that story was that man